Welcome back to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, the Catholic book blogger. And today with us, we have Craig Willits, the editorial director of our Sunday Visitor and the author of the previously released book, New Evangelization and You Be Not Afraid. With his wife, Jennifer, he founded the New Evangelizers and Rosary Army Apostolates, authored The Catholics Next Door, Adventures in Imperfect Living, and hosted the Catholics Next Door daily talk show on Sirius XM. In addition to raising their five children, Greg and Jennifer also produce the weekly Adventures in Imperfect Living podcast at gregandjennifer.com. Greg, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Pete. It's good to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. And I have to say, Greg, really good to have you actually and be able to speak to you today. Our paths have crossed numerous times through Rosary Army. And I have to publicly state that you are the reason I'm brave enough to do a podcast. I cut my teeth on you and Jennifer's podcast, and thanks for that. And I've learned a lot from listening to you.
See, normally when people say that they listen to my show, I always apologize. I'm like, well, I'm sorry you do that to yourself. So I should congratulate you that you have a show, but I'm sorry that it was our show that you decided to cut your teeth on. So very humbled by that. You know, it's amazing how God can use even the most insignificant and unprepared people to do the most amazing things. And so congratulations to you as well for saying yes to God and being willing to do so much.
Well, thank you for that. And it kind of leads us into the conversation about your book that you've just released from our Sunday Visitor, Tied in Knots: Finding Peace in Today's World. Obviously, all of us have certain obstacles we tackle, and it's a great book. And I want to start off this conversation with what brought you to writing this book.
Being tied in knots is almost like a state of life for me. It's a constant battle not to be tied in knots. And it's kind of interesting as I not only approached midlife, but went over what I'm fairly certain is past midlife. I can't imagine I'm gonna live my lifetime once over again. But I started to realize just a lot of the things I've gone through has been self-induced stress, self-induced knots, a lot of just misery and angst that just did not need to be there. And so I've learned a lot of lessons. I've had a lot of blessings in my life, but I've also allowed a lot of stress into my life. And what was interesting was as I was approaching midlife, I was being asked more and more to actually kind of talk on this subject to other people, that it wasn't some singular thing that was affecting me, but a lot of people just are overly stressed in their lives. They're overly anxious and they're overly worried. They have genuine problems they're dealing with and don't necessarily know, not necessarily how to get out of those problems, but just how to deal with being in the midst of the problems. And so that was one of the things I really wanted to address in Tied Knots, was the idea that knots will happen, that difficult circumstances will happen in our lives. The question is how are we going to face those knots? How are we going to work with the knots rather than try to fight against them? I oftentimes think about, you know, when you get a knot in your shoe, if you don't untie it just the right way, you can end up making the knot tighter.
Right.
And sometimes you could panic and start, you know, well, hey, you're a rosary maker. You also know the same thing. You know, it's kind of ironic that here, you know, founded Rosary Army, which is dedicated to making all twine knotted rosaries. And here's a book about untying the knots in life. But sometimes when you're making a rosary knot, you'll start making it, and you can kind of see as you're going around your finger a few times, you pull the string through, you can see if the knot is going to, if all the pieces of twine are going to perfectly align into this nice symmetrical little knot, or if the knots are going to start overlapping, you're going to get this blobby, ugly looking thing. And sometimes it's really easy to start panicking and you want to try to fix it. You start flailing your fingers around. And it's almost like in trying to fix it, we make knots worse. Yeah. That we make them even more knotty in our lives. And I think that's a lot of times what we do just with the actual knots that we experience in our lives, is that we start to panic and we end up making them worse. And so I hope that this book will give some peace and some direction of like, listen, knots are going to happen, but there could actually be a huge blessing. And that was one of the questions I asked. What if I told you, instead of this knot being a major problem, what if I told you that the knot that you're dealing with right now, that there could actually be a huge, huge blessing waiting for you at the end of this knot?
Yeah, that's pretty awesome stuff. Now, I got to ask you a question, and it may seem a bit ironic, but you've written this book about dealing with stress in its many forms by reflecting upon moments of stress in your own life. How stressful was that?
Well, it was, you know, the idea of writing this book came about because I had given some talks and missions and led some retreats and that kind of thing on the subject, tied in knots. And I had a series of talks that I gave in this area. And right after I came to our Sunday visitor, just an impromptu conversation happened of having internal people write some books. And I said, well, I got this content that I've done. And next thing I knew, without even realizing it, I just committed to writing a book. And I just started this new job. And then they're like, well, we're going to get this book out really fast. We'll just kind of use your outline from your talks to put it together. And it's like, well, it's not that easy. Talks and books are two different things. And so it ended up being really stressful because it's like I had these self-induced timelines. And then there's, you know, the rush to get it together. And I actually at one point said, listen, no. I put the kibosh on it and said, we're going to do this right. We're going to pause because this is really important content. This is content that a lot of people stress with. Mm-hmm. And if we just rush it out, it's sort of like trying to rush the knot to get it undone. Yep. We're not going to give people what they really need to be able to find solutions. So writing the book was stressful. It shouldn't have been, but it was just because of these stupid self-induced timelines. And again, it's an illustration of how often we put these deadlines on ourselves that we don't have to have, and the ability to say no to something, the ability to pass something up, the ability to trust God that, listen, just because something came your way that looks like a great opportunity doesn't necessarily mean it's of Him. And I wish, quite honestly, I'd done a lot more praying before I did it. It was just I agreed to it, and I came to work one morning and didn't know I was writing a book, and when I went home that night, I was pretty much under contract. So that's not a good way of moving along and making decisions in life. So pretty stressful. Stressful.
So, and we're going to get deeper into the book here, Greg, as we go along. But one of the chapters that really intrigued me was the chapter where you talk about diet. And I recently escaped a 20-year job where I was tied to a desk for the last at least 12 years of that. And I've had the opportunity to focus on my waistline now as well. So it's funny how we tend to ignore that. And as you pointed out, it did the exact same thing as you did. Throw on a bigger shirt and we are good to go. So what ultimately led you to a fitter and healthier life, and why did you include that in the book?
What I hoped it would do is give a further illustration of what I was saying before, of the whole idea of sometimes the knots in our lives can lead to greater blessings. And there was a period just a few years ago, I got horribly sick with a mysterious ailment that no one could figure out. Doctors upon doctors sending me from test upon test couldn't figure out what was going on with me, and they put me on medicine thinking that it was going to help, and all it did was made me nervous, it made me depressed, and it made me basically have this magical superpower that if I so much as looked at food, I gained a pound. And so I put on just a ton of weight on that medicine in a very short period of time. And when I finally was able to find some solutions to my health problem, I was left bigger than I'd ever been in my entire life. And I was determined to do something about it. So here again, here's this problem of being sick, and then this blessing of, you know, finally having that impetus to do something about it. I know that sounds kind of weird, but what was amazing was when I started working out more, when I just started going for a walk, I realized that it wasn't necessarily just the physical health benefits of losing weight that I was relishing every day, but it was the mental health benefits that I started to relish, just the peace of getting some more oxygen in my brain that allowed me to think more clearly, that allowed to flush out some of the stressful feelings that I was dealing with. And I really kind of got a little addicted to just the mental feeling good of the walks every day. And even since I moved, you know, I moved to a new state and a lot of changes and, you know, a kid moved out of the house, and my mother-in-law moved in, and all these kinds of things going on, new job and whatnot, and living in the Midwest where apparently everything has to end with pie, you know, I gained about 20 more pounds after moving here. And just in recent weeks just said, you know, again, it's wanting that mental health back. And so starting to work out again, and it's just amazing how great I feel. And to me, when I was younger, I used to work out just so I would look better, right? Mm-hmm. And just so I could lose that weight. But for me, it really has been just this mental thing of I mentally feel better when I take better care of myself. And that's what's ultimately kept me going. The original goal was to lose the weight, but the ultimate goal that's kept me going is just to feel better in my head. There's something just amazing how at the end of a day's work of just going for a walk and how it can separate me from the stress of the day and let me go into my, my regular life of being a family man.
Right. And the thing I found since becoming self-employed was that I go for a morning walk, or try to. Lately, it's been getting closer to fall, so it's getting darker and it's on the road I live on. It's a little more dangerous to do that.
Yeah.
But that always seemed to me, in addition to going to Mass, it is a really a good way to start the day. It clears your mind, gets you prepared for what lies ahead in your schedule.
Yeah, and I started adding weight training on top of it too. And I go into it, and sometimes I'll go into the gym and I'm sort of dreading. It's like, oh, this is really going to hurt. But I've started telling myself, again, that same thing. What's the blessing that come from this? You're never going to regret. Just like with prayer, if you spend the time to pray, when you're done praying, you're never going to go, you know what? I really regret spending that time in prayer. I really regret praying that rosary. I really regret reading the Bible today. You never say that.
Right.
The same thing with exercise or diet. You're never going to say, you know what? I really regret going for that walk and clearing my head today. I really regret, lifting those weights. For me, again, lifting weights, just like walking, it's just like it flushes out the bad stuff. I can't really explain it. It just feels like it's a huge flushing out of the bad stuff. It gets my blood pumping in a good way, and it helps me to focus on the right things. It's whenever I'm focusing on the negative, especially when I'm tired. A lot of times, like I was just thinking earlier today, I'd love to go home and take a nap. Really, the better thing for me would be go home and get on the treadmill for 20 minutes just to give myself a little bit of energy, clear my head, and that's the healthier thing that could come from this.
Mm-hmm. Well, with that, we're going to take a quick break. You've been listening to Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media with Greg Willits as our guest, and we'll be right back. I'm Pete Sox, the host of Off the Shelf here on Breadbox Media. Head on over to my show page at breadboxmedia.com and support my show and our work here at Breadbox Media by becoming a premium member today. And we believe it's more about giving than receiving. When you become a premium member for just $9.99 a month, you unlock incredible discounts from our sponsors like Rugged Rosaries, Catholic Books Direct, Lifeboat Coffee, the Mass Box, and the Harrisburg Senators, just to name a few. And it's even better. Every month, Breadbox Media chooses a nonprofit organization to partner with, and 10% of every premium membership is dedicated to that nonprofit. Join the revolution in Catholic media. Become a premium member by visiting my page today. Back to Off the Shelf. I'm your host, Pete Sox, and Catholic book blogger. Today we're here with Greg Willits talking about his new book from our Sunday visitor, Tied in Knots, Finding Peace in Today's World. We ended last segment talking about diets, Greg, and now we're going to move a little further into your book, and we're going to talk about finances. And I think this is a topic that, especially nowadays, really impacts a lot of Americans. And I'm going to take a quote from your book here, which I thought was really good. And you state, "My wife and I are facing an uncertain financial future as we inch toward our 50s with no substantial retirement plan. I'll be honest, I worry that I'm going to be working nonstop the rest of my life until I drop dead." End quote. Now, I think this topic is very stressful for us men. I mean, we're brought up and conditioned to be the breadwinners in our homes. And so what advice do you have for men on this very topic?
It's men and women, quite honestly, but a Harris poll done on behalf of the American Psychological Association claimed that 64% of adults, this is in 2014, 64% of adults were stressing out about financial worries. Wow. That's a significant, more than half the population flipping out about it.
Yeah.
And there's other stressors as well. When you look at Family responsibilities, 47% of adults stressing out about family responsibilities, 46% stressing out about health concerns. It's just an example of we're all stressed. You know, we're living in a world that wants us to be stressed. They want us to be flipping out. They want us, they're constantly providing technology and distractions and new commitments and new worries and everything else to continually keep it, keep us stressed out. And if it's not enough, they're like, well, here's another thing. You know, here's another notification on your phone to stress you out.
Yeah.
I think though, I mean, obviously we need to, we need to be wise stewards of the gifts God has given us, the gifts of our family, the gifts of our jobs, the gifts of our finances, the gifts of our time and talent. And in many cases, you know, I am at this place where we have made certain choices in our lives to go into to ministry type of work and take pay cuts at certain times of our lives. I used to work in the IT industry. I had a well-paying job. I quit that to start doing Catholic media ministry. And there were many years where it was a lot leaner. My wife and I, we might have been, like when we were on radio, we were basically buy one, get one free. We were both working full-time doing the radio show, but pretty much just being paid one person's salary to do so. And just we've made choices intentionally to serve God. And I have to believe that God says in Scripture that, you know, if he cares for the birds and the trees, if he's, you know, if an unloving father wouldn't give his child a scorpion when he asks for an egg, right? I have to believe that my loving God is going to take care of us just because of our own faithfulness to him. That we have been faithful to him, he will be faithful to us. And so we have to trust in that. And that's a hard thing for us to really hone in on. And I don't go into a great detail on that particular aspect of it, of the idea of trusting for these unknown things.
Right.
But again, it goes back to, well, that I can choose to allow that to be a knot in my life, and I can choose to be freaked out about it, or I could be wise with what I have and trust that what I don't have will be taken care of. So, for example, I don't want to say, well, I may not have a huge retirement fund right now, so I may as well go to the Caribbean on a cruise. That's that's just stupid, and that's my own fault. That's like people who, you know, who eat McDonald's every night for dinner and pray that God would make this food to nourish their bodies. Hey, it's McDonald's. It's going to be bad for you no matter what you do. It's like,
right.
It's, God's not going to transform these bad decisions into good ones. That's not how it works. But if we're making, if we are faithful, if we're trying to do the right thing, if we're trying to move forward, God's going to take care of us in those times.
And I think your story, your example, and we've known each other for years, at least remotely via email and social media. But your whole story of how you have and Jennifer have both committed yourselves to your apostolate, to me, it's very inspiring. To see what you guys have done and listening to you on your podcast through the years, you know, that your podcast listeners have all been, you know, you've laid it out there for your listeners that they've been along the journey. So we understand what you've done, and it's pretty awesome stuff what you've done, Greg.
Yeah. And hey, listen, I can look back and I have, there are times where it would be really easy to say, I kind of wish I hadn't done that. I kind of wish I had stayed in IT. I kind of wish I had stayed on the safe route. There have been times where it's like, you know, you say that about the podcast, and I really do appreciate hearing that. But then we've had other people go, you know what? You guys are a couple of jerks. You're really full of yourself. And you're always talking about, you know, so there's the negative side. There's a cost, and that's an area of stress for me and that kind of thing. But it is a matter of, you know, do we believe that God has called us to mission as disciples in this world? Do we believe that he wants us to be disciples of Jesus Christ? And if so, that requires us to also be evangelizers and to be able to share the good news with other people. Nowhere in Scripture did it say, hey, are you looking for an easy, cushy job or side project? Why not be a disciple of Christ? Because it's so easy. It never comes with any adversity whatsoever,
right.
And everyone will love you for doing it. No, if I missed that piece of Scripture, please correct me. But I'm pretty sure it never said that. And it is. It's a difficult path, but it's a worthwhile path. And, you know, I struggle sometimes with, like, my yoke is easy. Well, it doesn't feel easy, Jesus. It's like, well, no. His yoke is easy when we find our true rest in him, when we know that ultimately we're aiming for heaven, that we're trying to get ourselves, our families, our loved ones to heaven, that rest is there, that the rest of being in the presence of Jesus Christ is a restful place. And there's hard work to do. He's not saying it's not going to be hard work, but to follow Jesus and to be like him, it's much easier to do that than it is to think about living in a world of despair and pain and stress and being tied up in perpetual knots.
Mm-hmm. You know, to get back to the topic of health, because you bring it up again in the book later, you know, there are readers of this book that are probably facing very stressful moments in their lives due to health related issues. And, you know, probably greater ones than you and I have dealt with on our own. For where we're at in life, we're pretty healthy, even though I'm sure both of us enjoy our chiropractor immensely. You know, I've had the displeasure of watching two neighbors that were very close to us. One passed away from Alzheimer's, the other one from fourth stage lung cancer. It was terrible watching him just basically die in front of our eyes.
Yeah.
You know, how can people stare down this anxiety and defeat it? Not only the ones that are suffering from the disease, but those around them that have to witness it.
You know, one of the things I talk about, I dive into the Beatitudes, but I intentionally stuck in a space.
Yes,
and I
that
call
was
it
awesome.
The Beatitudes.
Yep.
So that these are the attitudes that of which you are to be, of which you are to have. Jesus, again, I keep honing back to this idea of within our knots, there can be a blessing that is seen. And in the Gospel of Matthew, we see 8 specific examples of knots that people encounter in their lives that are accompanied with 8 very specific blessings that are promised from these knots. And the Bible doesn't suggest that, you know, these blessings might happen. It says these will come. And these are things that, while it doesn't specifically say blessed are those who see their neighbors or their friends die, it does say blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And I think sometimes we look at Scripture and we want to say, well, okay, I like that accolade, but it doesn't apply to me. Mm. And yet at the same time, I think we have to ask ourselves in our prayer lives, are we going to God and are we saying, Lord, I am mourning and I would like to be comforted. I'm not going to tell you how to comfort me. I want your will to be done. Maybe you want me to suffer a little bit right now, or you're allowing me to suffer, not want me, but allowing me to suffer right now so that I can offer up this pain for the sake of someone else who's suffering in this world, so that I can be a little bit like Jesus right now, so that I can offer this up for the forgiveness of sins of someone who desperately needs forgiveness much more than I do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we just passed the 100th anniversary of the appearance or the miracle of the sun in Fatima. And that Fatima message has just been ringing in my brain over the last several weeks of our opportunity, not just our call or our need, but our opportunity to pray and to offer up reparations for the sins of other people. And so when you're staring at people who are dying and having other difficult times, again, the Beatitudes, we know that when we are looking at times of sadness and depression, when we are poor in spirit, that the kingdom of heaven is ours. We should be thankful and looking forward to that. We should in the midst of that knot say, okay, what is this knot leading me to? And it's going to lead me to a place where I can comfort other people, where maybe, you know, again, here, my whole book, I offer one example after another of times where I've been stressed out in my life. I'm able to offer those as witnesses to other people to give them comfort.
Right.
So again, you know, here's a knot. My stresses, the positive thing that comes from those knots is that other people going, thank you just for letting me know I'm not by myself, that I'm not alone in this. Thank you for making that happen. So blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. You will be comforted. Blessed are the meek. You will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for you will be satisfied. Do we believe these things or not?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really important question. Do you believe it or not? Are you going to say, God, I don't believe you? Or are you going to say, God, I fully believe you. I may not see it right now. I may not understand it right now. I may not see these things actually happening, but I'm going to trust you that your word is true. And I'm going to accept that this knot in my life, this difficult thing, that there's got to be a blessing that's going to come from this.
That's some very important stuff for us to remember, and we'll get deeper into this as we go further. We're going to take another quick break. You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Pete Sock, Catholic book blogger, and this week, Greg Willis. And we'll be right back. here on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, a Catholic book blogger, with Greg Willits this week, talking about his book, Tied in Knots, Finding Peace in Today's World. And Greg, you talk about this ribbon that runs through our lives and how we can look at that across our lifetimes, and we should be focusing on the positives and not necessarily the negatives all the time. We're, frankly, a very negative world. But that's a tough thing to do, but what are the benefits that we can get from that?
You know, I like using that analogy, the ribbon of our lives, because when we ultimately are talking about being tied in knots, and this is the ultimate prayer solution that I offer, and the only true tangible solution that of something that I believe will fix things is to go to Mary Untire of Knots. And so the idea of Mary Untire of Knots is she has this ribbon of our life that is full of knots throughout. And she's able to untie these knots, not just because she's a busybody and looking for something to do, but she knows that when our lives are not snarled with these knots, that we will be of greater service to her son, Jesus Christ. That, mm-hmm. that when we're living a life of greater peace, even in the midst of knots being there, that we can be of greater service to her son. And so what I like to look at with this idea of a ribbon in our life is sort of like looking at the history timelines that we used to look at in elementary school and high school, where, you know, this happened in this year, and this happened in this year, and this happened in this year. And for me, I can look back, and if the ribbon of my life is a timeline, like in history class, I can see where very significant knots were put into my lifeline throughout my life of hurt and anguish and disappointment, frustration and loss, and all these negative stressors that we experience in life. And I can see, by looking at those, the blessings that came from them. I can see how, for example, going through a bad relationship led me ultimately to the greatest relationship of my life outside of my relationship with Christ, and that's with my wife. Mm-hmm. Had I not, you know, dated some other people, I never would have realized exactly what kind of person that I wanted in my life. Had I not gone through unemployment, I wouldn't have been challenged to learn some new skills and to trust God even more, to break out and to try some different things in my life. And so that when I think about the ribbon of my life, I used to focus on just one anguish point after another. This happened, and this was a bad thing, and that happened, and this was a bad thing. And I tended to want to hold on to this ribbon of knots versus the smooth ribbon, which is what God wants me to focus on. He wants me to see the blessings that are smoothly interwoven into this ribbon of my life, versus just focusing on these knots in my past. Those knots that happened, they happened. They may have affected me in a negative way, but I'm not supposed to hold on to those things. They may have affected me. They may have changed my character, but I'm supposed to be looking more forward to the smoothness of my life forward, which is a life of peace that Christ wants me to have.
Definitely. It's a great analogy. It really is. The next thing you bring up is sort of a battle plan, a battle card, shall we say. You talk about the first five verses of Romans 5 and yeah. putting those on a note card and keeping them with you and pulling it out at certain times when you need to get pumped up.
I love Romans chapter 5 because, you know, it is a recipe card for going through difficult times. Because it tells you right out of the gate, we're talking about health issues. It also ties into when you're lifting weights, the only way you're going to get stronger is if you lift those weights. What happens when you lift those weights? Well, you rip the muscles up a little bit. You're creating affliction in your muscles. Mm-hmm. Well, we then know that scientifically what happens is that muscle fiber binds itself together while it heals, and it strengthens. It becomes harder. It becomes more rigid. And it actually does a lot of other benefits as well that we don't see right out of the gate. It burns more calories. It increases testosterone levels. It does all sorts of good stuff for us, right? It levels out our blood flow, all sorts of good stuff. Well, the analogy there, though, is that you need the affliction to be able to make it stronger. And when it's stronger, you have greater endurance. Well, Romans 5 flat out tells us that when we have greater endurance, or excuse me, greater affliction, affliction produces endurance, and endurance then provides greater character. Mm-hmm. So we know that when we're stronger, when we're more confident people, our character is better, because in our confidence that we're able to help other people, that we're able to be more compassionate, we're able to live in the virtues more fully, and that character then also produces hope. And that hope isn't in ourselves, it's in God. And we know that hope doesn't disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts. And that's so important. And when you look at that, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. This is Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So for me, the book's subtitle is so important, Finding Peace in Today's World. That peace comes from a greater hope. And right. So often we don't hope in scriptures, going back to the Beatitudes, right? Mm-hmm. We don't hope that these things are true. We read them and we question, I don't think it applies to us. To me, having greater amounts of the virtue of hope would make so many things in my life so much better. So I pray for that. I want to have, to allow affliction to help me to grow in endurance, and that endurance to have greater character, and that greater character, greater hope, because I need more of that hope in my life.
Yeah, I think we all do. There's a part in the book where you use Mary's role at the wedding feast at Cana in asking Jesus to change water into wine. We're all familiar with that story. Yeah. And you focus not so much on Jesus doing what his mother asked, but more so on our trusting that he will aid in our problems. And yes, she'll help, but ultimately we need to trust that her son will act at her request. Important stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, and ultimately her request is that his will be done. And I think that a lot of times when we look at these things like the wedding feast of Cana, and we say, okay, do as he tells you, but her looking at her son and Jesus acting on that behalf, Mary, just like God, is not a genie in a bottle. You can't rub the lamp a certain way and she's going to do whatever you want her to do. Ultimately, what she wants is for us to look to her son and for us to trust her son. And for us to trust her son means to trust the will of God. And so there might be a knot that we're going through. And I've been going through a couple of knots lately in my life. And I just finished praying the Mary Undoer of Knots Novena. I actually did it twice in a row, and I'm halfway through my third for the same intention. So it's not like it's going to happen right out of the gate. But I will say that by entrusting our needs to her, what she does provide almost always is going to be peace. Mm-hmm. And the solution doesn't always happen, but the peace does. That the evening out of the difficulties of this, of the angst that you feel, of the anxiety. And so I look to her. She does answer, or Jesus does answer that request, that ultimately we're seeking peace by having that knot untied. It's not that we're having the prayer answered, but we're just asking for that anxiousness and that lack of peace to be dissolved.
Right. There's another great chapter in the book called The Gift of Identity, and I think it's important. It was a very valuable part of the book, and I'm glad you included it. I think we can fall into these traps where we don't realize our self-worth or value to those around us. We all harbor these little George Baileys inside of us from It's a Wonderful Life that always wants to peek its little head out on occasion and have us questioning, what's our purpose? Why are we here? Does anybody really care?
Yeah, I don't know if that's an avoidable question for all of us of why we're here, and oftentimes we do find ourselves like George Bailey, and not seeing the benefits that people bring to our lives and that we bring to others. And again, oftentimes it's in that small stuff. It's in the little actions of the day. It's in those opportunities of grace that come our way each day, and those opportunities to be witnesses to Jesus Christ. That it's so easy for us to let those things go. But the other part of the gift of identity is accepting that our identity starts with God himself, that God has made us in his image and likeness. And do we find value in God's image and likeness? And that's a question that I don't think a lot of people ask. Do you find value in God's image and likeness or not? Because if you do find value in the image of God, then you must find value in yourself as well. Because you, through your baptism, are an adopted child of God, plain and simple. And I think that taking on that role of a true child, because if you know a family that has adopted someone, mm-hmm. do you look at their adopted child and say that child's only kind of their child? No, you look at that child and say that child is adopted. That child is fully their child. Right. It doesn't matter how that child became part of the family. That child is fully a part of that family. The child is an heir of the parents. That child is a part of that family. Well, we are adopted children of God through our baptism. So therefore, we are heirs to the kingdom of God, right along with Jesus Christ. And so it's very important for us in that gift of identity is taking on that identity. I am a child of God. And that's a strengthening thing that a lot of people, I think, pass up on because they lack self-worth. And part of the reason why they lack self-worth is because they want their worth to be dependent upon something that comes from this world versus allowing their worth to come from the fact that they were indeed made in the image and likeness of God. God loves them. God loves you. And God made you to be his child.
Right on. Now, a topic that keeps coming up in various interviews, and it came up here today numerous times, and I wanted to touch upon it briefly with you today, is prayer. A lot of people tend to ignore that, and then they wonder why their life's in shambles, because they don't have that personal relationship with Christ.
Now,
what tips can you give people and advice on prayer for those listening today?
You know, it's sort of like an exercise routine. Just start small if you have to. Just don't hesitate. And a lot of times we get these crazy ideas. Well, and it's sort of like Lent, you know, and Lent starts and you're like, oh, I got to give up these things. I'm going to have to read a chapter of the Bible a day and I'm going to pray three rosaries every day. And then like 3 days into Lent, you've already failed once. You're like, well, I just may as well coast till Easter. And it's because we set too much expectation. People do the same thing with exercise. They're like, oh, I'm going to go to the gym every single day. I'm going to run a marathon in a month. No, just get in there and do one set of weights instead of three. Do 1 mile instead of three. Do 10 minutes of prayer and Bible reading instead of 30, just to get into that routine. And it's one of those things that I guess one of the greatest things I can say is that, especially if you don't have that habit of prayer, is to sit and just say, Jesus, please love me right now. Please allow me to experience your love. I desperately want to experience what it means to be loved by you. I don't fully understand it. I want to understand it. I invite you into my life right now, Jesus. I want to experience your love. And just say that to him a few times a day and allow yourself to get into the rhythm of saying that, and then expand out into a few things.
Excellent. I'm going to take one more quick break. You've been listening to Off the Shelf with my guest, Greg Willits, this week, and we'll be right back. Don't let bad coffee leave you bitter. Experience the pure taste of artisan small batch coffee with Grim Bean Coffee Company. Grim Bean's whole bean and ground coffee is sourced from 90 farms across the coffee belt from organic, fair trade, and direct trade farmers. With over 20 coffee selections, Grim Bean is sure to match your taste. Single purchase and subscription services delivered to you ensure that you will never be without your favorite coffee again. Visit grimbeancoffee.com today for 10% off your order with the code BREADBOX at checkout. Experience the best with Grim Bean Coffee Company. Here on Breadbox Media, I'm your host, Pete Sox, the Catholic cook blogger. We've been speaking today with Greg Willits, the author of Tied in Knots, Finding Peace in Today's World. And we've talked a lot about it here throughout the segments, Greg, but I wanted to touch upon your inclusion of Our Lady, Undoer of Knots, in the book. Obviously, with a book of this title, she was going to be there. So can you share us a bit about this devotion and how it has impacted your own life?
Yeah, you know, it's impacted my own life because I ended up writing a book about it.
Exactly.
For starters.
I mean,
that was a huge thing right there. But, you know, this whole idea of invoking Our Lady Undoer of Knots to be able to help us, so it's based on a meditation by St. Irenaeus. He was an early church father. He was the Bishop of Lyon. He was murdered back in 202 AD. And so it's a meditation that's been around for a long time. But the idea was that because when we look at Adam and Jesus Christ, Jesus was the second Adam. St. Irenaeus, he made a comparison between Eve and Mary, saying that Eve, by her disobedience, tied the knot of disgrace for the human race, and Mary, by her obedience, untied the knot. And so Mary's role as undoer of knots is behind that whole novena. And the idea of the novena, which is in the back of the book in the appendix, is basically to each day pray part of the rosary, pray a specific meditation asking Mary to take that knot and untie it, and then pray the remainder of the rosary in a closing untier of knots prayer, and do that for 9 days. And again, what I recommend to people is that you may not get that magic answer that you're looking for, but peace will be there, or the beginnings of peace. And I've seen quite often that people will pray this prayer, and sometimes what they need to do is go to confession. They need to make sure that they're revisiting the sacraments. They need to avail themselves of the healing sacraments of the church before the prayer could even be answered in their lives. And so I highly encourage people to just say, okay, when I'm in the midst of a knot, allow this prayer to become a meditation of what is it that I need to change about myself so that my external circumstances can also be changed.
Right. Now, for those that listen to your current podcast with your wife, Jennifer, called Adventures in Imperfect Living, we know that a few months ago you stepped away. You needed a break. And leading up to that episode where you made that announcement, I could hear in your voice that something just wasn't quite right. You were struggling with something. And I think that's a perfect example of what this book is all about. Stepping back, reassessing where we're at in life, and then coming back into it recharged. So what prompted your hiatus?
You know, people accuse me all the time of looking angry when I'm not angry and unhappy when I'm not unhappy. But I think it was pretty obvious in my voice, in the last few episodes of the podcast earlier this year, that I needed a break. I encourage people to take those breaks, mm-hmm. because, again, I think that we get ourselves into these attitudes of things that I have to do, mm-hmm. that I have to do it, that there's going to be severe consequences if I don't do it. Well, you know, we quit doing the podcast for 9 weeks. Do you know what happened? Most of the people came back. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't lose them. I don't think anyone died. Pretty sure no one went to hell during the course of, us not podcasting. Life, that I'm not so self-important that life won't go on without
right.
me. But sometimes we allow ourselves to think that so much depends upon every single little action that we do. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that we don't have worth. We certainly have worth. But we have worth to God as well. And God is not asking us to kill ourselves with stress so that we can be servants to him. But I think sometimes, you know, we need to be wise stewards of the gifts that we have, and that includes our time. It means that if you're stressed out, maybe don't watch so much TV at night, but spend some more time praying to figure out what is that God's trying to do in your life. If you have some vacation time, actually use it for vacation and not just to do some work. Mm-hmm. Use it to rest. Use it to catch up on some sleep and to spend some extra time in prayer. To actually use the gifts that you have available to you. For me, we were doing the podcast on Sundays. I wasn't taking advantage of that day of rest. We went nearly 2 years without a single break making a show every single Sunday. And it was the funniest thing, Pete, because we stopped and took a step back. And the biggest problem, I just couldn't even see it because it was right there in my face. Mm-hmm. The biggest problem is that we were recording on Sundays and I was only getting one day off a week that I was giving myself. And it just wasn't fair to me, and it wasn't fair to God, and it wasn't truly rest. Even though I said, well, I rationalized and said, well, I'm serving God, right? And it's really important because I have to serve God. I have to do that. Mm-hmm. No, it was ridiculous. No one's going to die if I don't put out the show on Sunday afternoon. It's just if anything, it's been wonderful for me just to make the realization, just record the show on another day. And it was I call it a well-duh solution. It was like right there in front of my face. It was like, well, duh, I should have realized it. But I was blind because I was too close to the problem. And sometimes we allow ourselves to get too close to our problems that we can't even see them clearly.
Right. Or we get stuck in a rut of plugging away and we ignore yep. trying to find a solution to what's causing our angst.
Yep, exactly.
So I don't think anyone can have a conversation with Greg Willits and not mention Rosary Army. I mean, it's been a part of your life for many years. That's where you and I first met. Can you share what Rosary Army is with those of us that are unfamiliar with your apostolate and where you see it heading in the years to come?
You know, it's amazing to know that in March, it'll be 15 years since Rosary yeah. Army was officially founded. Rosary Army was started with basically an inclination to start making all-twine-knotted rosaries and giving them away. And the motto was make them, pray them, give them away. Mm-hmm. And we incorporated as a nonprofit organization and just put a form on our website saying, hey, if you want a free rosary, send this form to us and we'll send you a rosary. We'll take care of postage and everything. And we'll just give one free rosary to whoever asks for one. So we don't do huge mission rosary, amounts of mission rosaries and that kind of thing, because the idea is that we want someone to get a rosary and go, you know what, this is pretty cool. I could learn how to make these and I can give them away to my friends and family as mm-hmm. well. And every time we think that we're done with Rozier, I mean, suddenly we get the financial resources to keep going. It's like, oh, I guess we're supposed to keep doing this now. Or, you know, just when we say, well, maybe now we're done, boom, something else will happen to keep us going. But it's been a huge blessing. And as far as the future of Rozier, I mean, you know, we are constantly, for 15 years, been keeping it a prayer. It's very much a family apostolate. But, you know, as our kids get older, we also find, and as 15 years has gone by, we sometimes wonder what would happen if it were to go under the care of someone else that would have like a rejuvenated spirit about it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's when we start asking those questions that God oftentimes rejuvenates our own spirit. And so we've actually been praying a lot lately about the future of Rozier Army, because we feel like something's going to happen with it soon, to recharge it, to re-energize it. 15 years is a major milestone. And I, you know, we love the apostolate, but we love it enough to know that we, again, sort of like what I was saying before, we want to make sure it's in the right care of the right person. And maybe that's not us. We just don't know. But we see great things for Rozier Army. I would love to be more involved in it than I am, but just with work and everything else, mm-hmm. I don't get involved as much as I used to. But it's something near and dear to my heart. And I love how much it energizes people and gets them excited for something as beautiful as the Rosary.
Right, right. And it had a great impact in my life 15 years ago when I was going through my own reversion process. And I want to thank you for that, and I'm sure it's impacted many of others as well. So you now find yourself at our Sunday Visitor. What is your role there?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm the editorial director here at our Sunday Visitor, and I help to oversee our great team of editors and writers for our trade book division. So we do about 25 to 30 trade books a year, books like Tide and Knots, Finding Peace in Today's World, as well as a lot of other great titles that I know that you've profiled on your show, and mm-hmm. thank you for that.
You're welcome.
We also have several periodicals. We have a weekly newspaper, the OSV News Weekly. We have the monthly Priest Magazine for priests, largest magazine readership for that specific audience. We also have a brand new magazines. One's called Valiant, one's called Radiant, for young men and young women wanting to live out their Catholic lives. And we also provide all sorts of parish products like pamphlets and other items that you see in the back of your churches. And we're one of the largest parish offertory envelope providers, as well as other offertory solutions. So my job is on the publishing editorial side of all of the different types of content creation that we have, and also trying to do more and move more into an area of podcast and video and media creation. And so keep an eye out for that over the next year or so.
Gotcha. Now, you have what seems to be a million balls in the air at once. just reading this book, you can tell that, and just knowing you personally, I know that. So any projects you can share with us today?
You know, for me, it's kind of interesting. I'm always involved in projects of one sort or the other, work-related. But the projects that I tend to get the most excited by are the ones that no one will ever see. And so right now, I've been working on a painting for well over, or going on a year, that I keep painting over, because I'll do this amazing painting. It's a gargantuan canvas, like a 6-foot-long canvas.
Wow.
And I'll have my wife come down and look at it, and she'll go, nope. And I'll just end up painting over it, and I'll paint something else on top of it. And then she'll come down, she'll go, nope. And I just paint over it again. And I'm finally at a point where she goes, okay, I like where that's going. So I'm working really hard on this painting. And quite honestly, I find myself when I'm driving around, you know, that's when you do your most daydreaming about the mm-hmm. projects that you're occupied with. I think about that painting all the time. I have a bunch of bottles down in my basement that I've been cutting into glasses for drinking glasses and for making like little planters and candles and stuff. It's weird little hobbies that keep my, and that's one of the parts I talk about, is finding mm-hmm. side hobbies that just free your mind from the stresses of the life. And I think a lot about those. Those are the projects that I'm the most excited by. They're just the little things that I tootle around with down in my basement.
All right. So we're about ready to wrap up. I want to give you a chance to talk a little bit about, one, where people can find your book, Tide and Knots, and two, any closing thoughts.
Yeah, so they can find the book at osvcatholicbookstore.com, where they can find all of OSV's books. Again, it's osvcatholicbookstore.com. It's available on Amazon, your local Catholic bookstore. Go support your local Catholic retailer. And I'd love for more people to check out our podcast at gregandjennifer.com.
Excellent. Well, that's all we have time for today. Greg, I want to thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule and spending it with us. And you've been listening to Off the Shelf here on Redbox Media. I'm your host, Pete Sox, the Catholic Book Blogger. And until next time, God bless.